All right. Well, it's been a while, but since we're coming back into our teaching again, we're still teaching on John's letters to the church. And what we're really doing is looking at certain topics that John brought up in there. Now, we go look at other scriptures, too, because one of the things, you know, I always went along with Kenneth E. Hagin used to always and taught us. That he said, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And he said, just because you know something said someplace in the Bible, you make sure that other places are saying the same thing. You verify. And really what we do is we're looking at things that John said. We verify it through other scriptures that others wrote. And that you want to always do. You never want to take a scripture and just that one scripture, an isolated scripture, and just take that as the foundation of anything. Truth in the Word will always be proved out through other areas of the Word. It'll always be proved out. And, I mean, you could take things that John wrote here, and I could take you over the Old Testament and show you the types and the shadows of it in the Old Testament. So, I mean, things prove itself out. You always want to do that. So we've been looking at things that John wrote and said, and the whole point is John wrote his letter to to refute Gnosticism. And because Gnosticism started, which was false doctrine, started in its teaching of, you know, it didn't teach what the disciples taught who Jesus was. They taught that he didn't, they got over in the areas of, you know, Jesus didn't have a physical body like we do and all these kinds of things, yet we know that Jesus did. John, you know, talked about the fact that we walk with him, we touched him, we handled this guy. We know he was a real man. He came as a God. He came as a real man. John also, if we go back in the Gospel of John, we know that he was God come in the flesh. I mean, John specifically taught those things, and we found out about those things. But John is dealing in the areas of sin because they got over in the area where sin didn't really matter, and we got into teaching on dealing in the areas of sin and looked into worldliness, what worldliness was. The last teaching we did, we talked about how Satan tempts people. We looked at the temptation of Adam, of Eve in the garden, and we looked at Jesus' temptation and found, you know, Satan doesn't change what he does. He does the same old junk. The same things come along as he tempts us to try to get us to do something wrong, or is not to walk right, to not follow what's in our conscience to do. What we need to do is stick with the Word of God. It's just like with Jesus. Jesus, when he was tempted, what he said was what the Word of God says. And that's how you stay against temptation comes to you, is to start to say the right things. You know, identify what's said. And if you know what's said to you is wrong, I've had people come along to me over the years and make saying, well, you know, well, I'm getting tormented, the devil's saying this or that. Well, I ask them, well, what are you saying? You're running around saying what the devil said. Well, it's hard, you know, and really, you can't resist it that way. Because what it does, if you keep quoting what he's saying to you, it's going to do one thing. It's going to generate fear within you. That's all it ever does. If you keep quoting the wrong thing, after a while, the wrong thing is going to be what you believe. And if you're believing the wrong thing, it ain't going to make you happy. So you keep saying the wrong thing, and this is what people do. They keep quoting the wrong thing. Jesus told the devil what the Word of God said. And so we want to look at this. We're going to look today because John wrote in 1 John in the first chapter. We read back in the beginning, we started off. And actually, we read over this a number of times, but we're going to look at it, specifically look in the area, because John in 1 John in one, the fourth verse said, in the first chapter, he said, and these things, he said, things we write to you that your joy may be full. And so we want to, we're going to look at the areas of joy. We had talked before on the areas of joy, but we want to look in this to again. Joy is such an important thing. You're going to find, and we'll deal with why joy is so important. And he said the things we're writing, one of the reasons now he says that he's writing these things. He wanted to defute this Gnosticism, but the whole thing of it is, And this is one thing as I find strange, because you don't find a whole lot of teaching people going over to 1 John to teach. They don't teach a whole lot, because John says some really, you know, some things that will sort of grip you a little bit. But the purpose of it is, if you believe what John said, your joy will be full. And this is the whole point. Lots of Christians wonder why that they don't have a fullness of joy. It's because certain things they don't like to hear taught nor said. And they'll never, unless you learn to say, hey, God, you can speak into my life, because I know this, if the Word of God is presented to me and I walk in the Word, I'm going to get blessed. That's just the way it operates. We had Cooper Beatty. He taught on this subject when I was in Bible school in Rhema. And Cooper Beatty, he just died earlier this year. He just died. He was in his 90s. Awesome teacher of the Word. He would be to me, probably what is a perfect example of what a teacher is. Somebody who operates in the teaching gift. I teach, and I operate in the teaching gift, but not all. A lot of times by inspiration, I'll go along and have notes, but then the Holy Spirit will start. And the Holy Spirit told me to do this. He said, I want you to teach by inspiration more than line upon line. I want you to do that. And so I do. But he was a line upon line teacher, and he was anointed to do that. And I loved his classes because I loved it because I don't know, I always liked line upon line teaching. I like people who, you know, they take a subject and just lay it out there, you know. And he was good at doing that. He made this statement. And get this statement because it's the truth. He said, if you can keep the devil from stealing your joy, he can't keep your goods. If you can keep, and I want you, this is the truth. Man, this has proved out over the years. If you can keep the devil from stealing your joy, he can't keep your goods. And why can't he keep your goods? Your faith will work. If you can maintain your joy, you'll maintain your faith. This is where most people miss it, is where that happens was, is the devil will come along and do something that steals their joy. And if, once they steal their joy stolen, what happens? Their faith just flies away like a butterfly. It goes away. They release their joy. And after a while, what they're trying to, they believe they've received from God, next thing you know, well, I guess it ain't working. I guess, you know, and they're getting there talking all this other stuff. And it's the truth. So you want to always maintain your joy. Understand the joy that we're talking about, only a believer can have. This joy is not available to non-believers. So don't ever expect a non-believer to have this joy. Also, a believer who won't let somebody teach them right in this area, even though it is available to them, will not walk in it. Many believers never walk in this joy. They only have the same as the world got. They walk under the same things. Because understand, this is a spiritual force, not a physical force. And in this word here, joy, it just means this, from gladness, it means a delight, an exaltation, it says lifted up. And I like this because it's an exaltation of one's spirit, of the spirit. It's not a physical force. It's in one's spirit. And you need to understand it. This is where people mess up. They don't understand what's going on. Joy is a spiritual force. Most people equate joy with happiness, and it is not. Happiness is a earthly force. Joy is centered. It is a spiritual force. It is heavenly. You won't find it in the kingdom of Satan. You will not find it in the world system. The world system doesn't have joy. And happiness is based and is centered on earthly situations. As long as the situations are right, we're happy. The situation isn't right, we ain't happy no more. That's what happens. Joy has nothing to do with this. It's not tied to any of that. Joy comes from within. It's inside of us. Happiness comes out from outside stimulation. In other words, it's what your natural senses pick up. And you know what? Now we need to understand this. Your natural senses can pick things up, and there's nothing matter with that from happiness. But the whole problem is, if that's what I run by, then if bad situations come along, then what happens is I'm tied to that. There's nothing matter with enjoying something when a good thing happens. But we must be very careful, because if we tie ourselves to that when a bad thing happens, what happens is we let that dominate us instead of what is inside of us, what we have. Joy, the joy that we're talking about, this joy is independent of outside circumstances. It's independent of it. This joy does not change because outside circumstances. Happiness depends on favorable circumstance. It's always tied to what is going on. And so we need to know that. I remember sort of like an illustration, and she always comes to my mind when I look over in this subject, was a woman that I worked with at Reese's. And she was tied to the world's happiness. And she really had an extreme of it, because when she was, things, something good happened, she was extremely happy, sort of just way out there. And boy, something bad happened, and she was the other side, an extreme. She was like this roller coaster. I mean, and she was like up on the top of the hill, and then she was down at the bottom of the hill. And then she'd be up at the top of the hill, and she was, and I remember her doing that. Now, she claimed to be a Christian woman, but, you know, and really, it would sort of make you wonder about whether she was. And I'm not going to judge her whether she was a Christian. But because of the way her extremes with happiness and joy, she just seemed like just full of the world to me. Because she, you know, she would be like, God is good when things are good naturally outside. And, well, when things hit the bottom, there was no discussion of God. You know, and it was like, I used to think, oh my God, I used to really feel sorry for her, because I thought, oh man, when I was a druggie and drunk, I wasn't that extreme on this thing. You know, I was a little more levelly keeled than she was. I thought, gee, you know, that's sad. You know, you get like that. I mean, this is one of the things that I haven't. I believe loads of people that are called schizophrenic and this and that and depressed and other things and stuff like that, they are no more than dominated 100% fleshly. And so they get. And so what they do is they try to give them drugs to even them out. So they have these names they call things. But really, their whole problem is they're constantly dictated. Their life is constantly dictated by their circumstances. And so They're up and down, like with her. She's just up and down. And I'm sure if you took her to a psychiatrist, they'd say something, you know. They'd give her a diagnosis. But I know what her diagnosis was. I know what the cause of it is. I didn't have the extremes that she had, but I've seen other people have it. But I had, when I was a sinner, I had the same extremes, you know. That's one of the reasons I took drugs and stuff, because, you know, you're trying to be happy sometime, you know. You're bummed out, you know your conscience is bothering you. You know you shouldn't be living the life you're living, but you're living like hell, and you're doing all this stuff, and you feel guilty. Well, I don't want to feel guilty no more. Take drugs, and I don't feel guilty anymore. Yeah, there we go. That straightened that one out. And I'm serious, folks. That's the way it was. And that's why I've never, you know, get all down on people like some people. When I look at the world and I look at their drug use, their drunks, and then what the stuff that they do, folks, they're just trying to have a good time. You know why? They ain't even got happiness. They're trying their best to be happy. They want to do something. They got to do something to be happy. And that's what they're trying to do. The things that they do in life, it's not done because of inside of them there's a joy in doing what's right. Even when they do what's right, it's all for wrong motives and stuff, self-gratifications and things like that, is why they do things. And understand that about them, you know. We're not just saying this to people who criticize them, but when you watch Christians operate in the same thing, because they've never been taught spiritually. And they're still operate over the same level in the same things of going along in life. I don't want to go there. Man, it's a miserable way to live. It's a miserable, terrible place to go. And really, what it leaves you is a target for the devil to do things to you. And you don't want to get over and live in that area where you become a target to the devil, where he can start to play on you all the time and get at you. I live there, and I know what you put up with, and it was, you know, and many times you probably, man, that's living, it's like hell, but I guarantee you, hell itself is worse than that. So I'd hate to think of what hell's like, because you can live over in that area, man, it can really be hell. And but understand this. So what we're talking about a spiritual force, not a physical force. It is not based upon whether something good is going on. You know, one of the first things, when I got born again, and I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching in these areas, that's one of the things that really grabbed me, was the fact of, I wanted to know how to have joy when things weren't going right. Because I didn't, see, I was blown over into that area. I mean, I would, you know, if something didn't go my way, I was an angry young man. I mean, things were, watch out, I'd do dumb stuff. And you have that, you know, that extreme over there, because you want things to go, and things, you don't know how to deal with it. And things aren't going right. And when I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach on these things, I thought, man, I want to know how to learn how to go through troubles and problems in life and not have this up and down thing and this thing where it turned around. And I was too moved by situations, by stuff that happened. And I was, and you know, when I got born again and started off on this road, that was the thing that won Wanda to Christ. I never once preached to Wanda. I never went, ever preached to her, told her about accepting Jesus, never said one thing about it. I told her I had accepted Christ. I got born again. But the whole thing it was is Wanda said to me, one night she told me she accept, when I came home from working second shift, she told me she was watching TV and she accepted Christ. And I asked her, why did you accept Christ? Why did you? I want to know, why did you do it? Because, you know, she wasn't raised in a Christian home or anything like that. So she didn't have that influence. And when we were going together, she sure didn't have any Christian influence. Just because somebody preached to her. But she said, Wanda said this to me. She said, when you told me at first you accepted Christ, she said, I thought you were just going through another one of your phases in life. Believe me, I went through phases. None of them were good. We didn't have no good phases. They're all bad. And she said, but I watched you. She said, when things started happening, things would come, she said, you weren't the same guy anymore. She said, you didn't react the same way to things. She said, I realized I'm living with a different man. You see, what she saw in me, what the new birth would bring to a person to change a person's life. In other words, it was what's happened spiritually changed things. Because when I first got saved, the circumstances hadn't changed. All my circumstances were identical. But my reaction to them became different. And that's what she noticed. She noticed that, hold it. She said, you're a different guy. You don't react the same way. I was so glad to hear that because she saw more change in me than I saw. Because, you know, I'm looking at me like, oh man, I got so much to change. I don't know if this is, oh, God, you can't be able to help anybody else because you're going to be 100% of the time. We're just working on me. So everybody else is going to get neglected out of this. I know you're big, but I'm not sure if you're that. And I was really glad to find that out, that, you know, but she could see the changes. And that wasn't the fact that everything had changed with me right away. That didn't. But there was really dealing in areas, I was not as moved by circumstances. I was before. I wasn't as moved by those. And we want to look at why. This is one of the things that in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, in verse 8, Peter said this. And I want you to look at it because he makes this statement and it deals with the area of joy. And why we where our joy? We know that's not a physical force. He says, speaking of Christ, whom having not seen you love. You haven't seen him, okay? So we're not talking about in a circumstance area, things that are happening to us, things that we can see going on around us. We haven't seen Jesus. He said, look, you guys ain't seen him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing what we believe in what we don't see. He said, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We need to understand this. What's he talking about? Faith. Faith in the unseen realm. This is one thing you need to understand. Faith is tied to joy. Faith is always tied. If a person has a joy problem, I can tell them exactly why every time. They have a faith problem. Look. Joy, this joy is not tied to circumstances. It's not tied to what you see, touch, taste, smell. It is not tied to that. Your faith isn't tied to that. Because if your faith is tied to that, then you can only believe what you can see, touch, taste, and smell. He told them that their joy was an inexpressible joy. In other words, you can't make an explanation to a person why you're going through a difficult time and you're just confident God's going to help you out and you have this joy in you and they're looking at you like, you know what, they're weird. These people are really weird, you know. Look at this, look what the doctor said about him. And they're, oh, I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. Oh, these, what, they don't have enough sense to worry. You know, they're just... But you know, understand, this is what... So that's why you need to understand, when we're dealing with the subject of joy, we're talking about the realm of unseen. This is why people can't get it. See, I was used to really wonder about why, when I first started off as a Christian, I didn't have as much faith problems as many people had on the teaching of faith. And it used to wonder me, why? Is dealing the areas of faith, joy and all these stuff in these areas, I always often wondered why I didn't. I don't know why, other than the standpoint that I accepted the fact of what the Bible says faith was, and I determined to walk in that. I found that most people that were around me, they found a lot of difficulty in faith about it. And that's why people get over in the areas, you know, I had more people try to tell me, you know, you're out in left field, you need to come over among us, because you've got to be like we do. We ain't got a bit of joy, but we worry a lot, and, you know, we love God and all this kind of stuff. And they say, you know, and you're over here on this confession and all this stuff. You're out here in this weird area. And they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue, because they never accepted what it was to have faith. So they could never have joy. They wouldn't accept it. See, you can't come to this place. You can't come and have this. You can't walk in this without understanding what faith's about. It's just like, you know, with a person, I said in the beginning, you can't be talking what the devil said to you. That can't be your confession without you ending up worrying and destroying your joy. You can't keep going around telling people, the devil has just been hammering me and this. I hear these voices keep saying this to me and keep quoting that stuff. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by whatever words you're listening to. See, it's the principle of faith. And I learn over time, this is what's wrong with these people. They won't accept the principles of faith that the Bible teaches. They take the doctrines of their church, whatever they heard or taught. This is believe in God. This is this. This is that. They don't take what the Scripture says about it. And so, I was really glad that from the standpoint, I listened to the Holy Ghost told me, really the Holy Ghost, when I started off, shut me off from other teachings mostly than what Kenneth Hagin taught. The Lord told me to listen to what he teaches. Because he was teaching in an area where you could learn to walk in this stuff. You could learn to develop in these things. We're dealing with the areas of faith. Their joy is tied because of their believing. Understand this. Whatever you believe is going to determine whether you have joy or not. You believe the wrong thing. You believe the bad thing, and that's your target. Well, then, you're not going to have joy. You can't do it. There's no other way to do this thing. It is a spiritual force, just like your faith is a spiritual force. Faith is a spiritual force. It's not a physical force. Our faith is based on the Word of God, not on circumstances. See, it's the same thing. We can go over in the areas of whether or not, when we can deal with the areas of, just like love. Love's a spiritual force. Love, the love of God, is not a physical force. We can manifest these things into the physical realm by walking in them, but their power is not from the natural realm, because it's not based on circumstance. Circumstances don't say, you know, love those who hate you. Well, now, that's going to require some kind of other force than natural force, isn't it? Because if you're going to go by circumstance, they hate you, you hate them. They badmouth you, you badmouth them. It's all bound to something. And see, this is why it's to develop. Now, if we would look, I just want to read to you over in Paul's church of Galatia, in the fifth chapter. And I want you to look at what Paul said here. And this will help you in this area of developing in these, because he says, at verse 22, Paul had talked about the works of the flesh beforehand. Verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when he says word Spirit here, the same word that is used in the New Testament for Holy Spirit or human spirit is the same word. It's pneuma. Now, that word is going to be capitalized by ever how the person who does the translation determines that it is. Well, they have this capitalized, and I just want to tell you, that cannot be. This is not fruit of the Holy Spirit he's going to talk about, and we can prove that. The Holy Spirit does not develop fruit. God don't develop fruit. God is love. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to develop in any of these. It's you and I developing these. That's the fruit of the human spirit. It's something we develop and grow, not that the Holy Spirit does. When you got born again, the seed of everything that God is was in the new birth in you. That's why the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit is in you. If the love of God is shed in your heart in you, no Christian could ever say honestly, other than in ignorance, or stupidity, say, I can't walk in love. Well, sure you can. It's in you. You just haven't come in contact with that. You're in contact with the natural. You're in contact with the domination of the flesh. You're in contact with that. He says here, but the fruit of the Spirit, we could say the fruit of the human spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See, when you develop these gifts, you know what happens? People talk about crucifying the flesh. You can't crucify the flesh unless you develop in these. These fruits will cause the flesh to be crucified. In other words, you put the death to the flesh. You kill it. That's what happened when Jesus' flesh was nailed on the cross. It died. You want to kill. How do we kill our flesh? We don't kill our flesh by giving ourselves a good beating. You only got to go out and shoot yourself in the foot. What you do is you develop in the fruit of the Spirit. That will cause the flesh to be suppressed. You want to suppress your flesh, don't you? That's what I want to do. I want to suppress my fleshly desires, and I want the desires that are inside of me, my God-given, born-again spirit desires, I want them to have the expression in my life and not the works of the flesh. That's what we want. Here's how you do it. You develop in these. Now, I want to show you this because you need to know this. I didn't have anybody specifically say this to me, but I got this through the Spirit. Is you need to understand this where we start. The fruit of the Spirit. These are listed in a category of how they work. Listen to this. He said love. Love's first. Number one, if you don't walk in love, you're never going to have joy. If you don't walk in joy, you'll never have peace. Try sometime to have no joy on the inside of you and be at peace at the same time. It'll never work. Joy is what helps you maintain peace. See, people keep asking God for peace. What they need to do is get some joy. We walk in love. Why? Faith works by love. See, this is why love with the fruit of the Spirit has to be the number one, because our faith operates through love. Not just me walking in love, but I have to know the love of God for me. If you don't know the love of God for you, you can't walk in very strong faith. You don't know how much God loves you. You couldn't believe somebody do anything you could think of good for you if you didn't think they really loved you. You go out here and find somebody that doesn't love you and you know it, you don't have faith they're going to do much for you. You ain't going to have it. This is why understanding love. Now, walking in that love. But let's say, if you understand the love of God, you know what it's going to start to bring to you? Joy. It will. Man, you're going to be glad. When I found out how much God liked me, I was like, dear Lord, that made me happy. When you understand it, this is a way to strong faith. This is the way to strong faith. This is why it's so important, understanding about love. Love, joy is number one, joy. You can never go to peace. This is why you can pray night and day for peace. If you aren't walking over in the area and developing in the areas of love and understanding the love of God in you, I mean, the Bible tells us, you know, we love because we were first loved. That's why we love. If you don't understand the love of God, you can't love. So if we're going to walk in love, we need to understand the love of God first. I'll tell you what, you start understanding love, and this is what happens to you. It'll bring joy to you. It starts bringing joy to you in your life. When you start getting joy, you're going to find there's peace starts working. Wow, there's peace. Whew. I know God loves me. When some trouble comes, I can be at peace and rest. I don't have to get like the world does. The circumstance don't look good. Oh, no, we're in trouble. I don't have to go there. And understand that. So really, there's a sequence into their working. And you'll find this out as you go over love, joy, peace. You know what? You ain't going to have trouble with patience if you develop love, joy, and peace. When you're at peace, are you impatient? Nope. So if you're not impatient, what happens after that? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They all just run. You know, that all just runs right down the line together. They're fruits. So they're fruits that we develop in and we grow in. And we need to know. Is you'll find as you start to develop in the areas of love, you find this, your development over in the areas of peace. you start having of love, joy, peace, you'll find that they'll start working in you when you start having them. You'll start seeing those fruits will start coming. So you want to hook up in them. Everybody needs to learn how much God loves them. If you learn how much God loves you, it's like with me. I know I can look at compassion to other people that are all messed up, and I can because of the love of God. You can look and say, oh man, I can understand. See, they ain't been taught. They don't know. They don't understand this stuff, and they're all messed up over in these areas. And so we need to keep ourselves over in these areas. That's why I'm talking about these. So as Peter told us, this thing that we're, this joy that we have, it is based in what we believe. What you believe about the love of God. We have to have the right thinking about the love of God. You know, when people turn around, well, God makes you sick for a reason. That make you happy? You're a sick person. Go tell them. God loves me so much, He gave me cancer. Man, I'm going to tell you what. You talk about joy and peace rising up. Woo! I mean, my God. You know, it's just when we were up at the meetings up there by Clearfield at West Decatur, and that woman came to me after service to ask me a question about, and she was told that she shouldn't want to get rid of her pain too quick. She was told by this big-name minister in a church has 25,000 members, told, you should want to get rid of your pain. Maybe God's trying to work something out in you. Well, what did that do for her? She came up to me, and you know what? She was in distress. Why? There was no joy nor peace. Why? What was said to her could not bring joy nor peace. What's said to her was to bring her fear. The devil spoke through that minister, whether he realizes it or not, but he just spoke the devil's propaganda. I don't care if he's born again. I'm not saying be mean to him, but he did it. And what did he bring to her? He didn't bring her any comfort. Man, she's hurting. And this idiot says, God's doing it to you. Wow, he must really love me. So I guess the guy that beats his wife really loves her. All that, we've been so mistaken in all this stuff. You know, we're so messed up, we ain't got a clue. These child rapers, my God, they love these kids. Gee. I mean, ask the preachers. They'll tell you. God has a reason for all this. You know. But can you understand? You can't have joy. That's why joy cannot be based upon circumstances, because if you do go something bad, to turn things around, you got to know God's on your side. That's the only thing that's going to bring this. It can't come by other means. When James wrote and said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He can't be speaking of a natural force, can he? He can't be talking about something that comes from a natural. In other words, we can have this joy. And let me tell you what. This joy will get you through things. This joy will get you through stuff that you would have never thought you'd ever get through. Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 14, verse 17, says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. This is what the kingdom, listen, the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. If we're in the kingdom, what should we have? This is what we're supposed to have. We're not supposed to have all this other stuff. That's not what's supposed to be dominating us. Oh, I'll guarantee you, things are going to sure want to affect your feelings. Your flesh is one of, but I'll tell you what, your flesh can be really deadened in its power of what it does if we learn to operate over in this area. Joy is something that is consistent. Understand it. It's consistent. Happiness is inconsistent because why? It's tied to circumstance. So it has to be inconsistent. Joy and peace. God doesn't want you to have peace in some things and in situations and not in others. He don't want you to ever have peace that God's going to help you one time and the next time don't have peace, He ain't going to help you. You couldn't. How could you live at peace in life with that? See, this is why we follow God. There is a consistency. And this is one thing that I wanted to come to that I wanted to find out. See, did you ever take one of these tests that they have to find out personality tests? Did you ever take one of those? Well, I took one years ago and they told me basically something was wrong with me. I was insane. And you know why? Cause. They told me something was wrong with my personality, and the reason they did is because this is their idea. the world. If you're a certain thing, then you're like this. If you're a certain thing, then you're like that. If you're a certain thing, then you're like this here. Then you're like that. I was too much like many of them. I wasn't way out on either one. They said, well, something's wrong. I said, my God, this stuff in the Bible's working. Was Jesus more one thing than another? No. Jesus walked even, no matter what people did, he was even keeled. He didn't act out because, you know, you're a type A personality and you're a type... See, they do this stuff. They put this stuff out here. And the churches have taken it, drug it in, and buy it, and they give you those tests. Most major ministries, if you go get a job, ministry, they'll give you one of those tests. They expect most people, most Christians, to be like the world. So they get it. No, you're not. Jesus wasn't an extreme. The only thing that Jesus was extreme about, he extremely followed the Word of God. That's what he extremely did. But you know, if we would see in Jesus, we could see any of those classes of personality in Jesus, but not one of them dominated him. Jesus, how could the Bible tell us to walk, you know, in love, tell us to be merciful and kind, but you have a personality? Well, if you have an A personality, you're not going to really be merciful and kind to people. You're going to, well, hold it. The Bible tells me you have to. Then I go over to the other side. People call themselves mercy and kind, and what they do is they let everybody walk all over. Well, that sure ain't, that ain't the way the Bible has it either. See, this is a bunch of junk and bunk that they put out down here doing on people. I want to tell you, we come to the place where we can be what God wants us to be in every circumstance. Jesus was exactly what he should have been in every circumstance. I have not been always. I cannot justify that by certain personality. That doesn't mean we don't have differences in personality. We do as people. We have differences in personality. We may have differences in gifting, but that doesn't mean we're dominated by anything. They put you over where you're dominated by something. And what happens is, you know, if a guy's a certain thing, he can't be this. I want to tell you what, the Holy Ghost can work in you and you can be certain things. I mean, the Holy Ghost worked in me. I stood in different, at times stood in different offices that I don't normally stand in. But for the time, the Holy Ghost had me stand in an office. And so we need to understand how these things work. This is why you want to hook over in these areas. Because through these areas, if you walk in the areas of love, joy, peace, you know what you're in contact with? You're in contact with your human spirit. When you're in contact with your own human spirit, you'll be in contact with God. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in your spirit. You cannot be led by the Holy Spirit without developing these. It is impossible. That's why most Christians, they'll have to go by these tests because they are not led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me this years ago that most Christians are not led by the Spirit. He had told me back when I first got born again, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And this is why you want to be learned. This is why this joy, but this joy is a huge... The whole purpose, one of the purposes that John wrote this letter, your joy would be full. I want my joy full. I want to be able to face any circumstances or situations in life and not be moved by them. Wouldn't it be nice not to be moved by circumstances at all? Wouldn't that be nice to be able to have a great outlook, confidence in God no matter what you face? Wow. Isn't that where we want to go? These people talk about, oh yes, no matter how bad it is, trust in God. But yet they're listening to the circumstance. Well, you can't. And we need to understand that this spiritual force is this, and it is a spiritual force, and we want to walk in that spiritual force. I don't know about you, but I'm going to turn on. You think it's getting warm in here? Mind if I turn the fan on a little bit? I don't know. I'm getting warm. It's the anointing. I don't know. I'll turn a little bit. I'm kidding. Anyhow, here we go. Back over. We go over to the things and we look. Paul had written to the church at Philippi. Now listen what he said to them. You know, people read these things, but over the years, I've even listened to even people in ministry and ministers talk. Paul said this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. People say that, always rejoice in the Lord. But we need to understand this. This is not some just, rejoice in the Lord. You know, people are out here trying to be happy, going through bad things. That's not what he's talking about. He's not trying to talk about happy. You can't be happy over the circumstance. When the circumstance is good, it don't take anything. Because I tell people, you know, they go along and they're talking big faith stuff when nothing's happening. Yeah, you wait till something happens and then the faith stops. You know, we ain't doing that no more. They're talking about what's going on around them. What is all that's from? That's because they don't know what this scripture is. This is about rejoicing in the Lord always. Being able to rejoice, you can't rejoice in circumstances. It's an impossibility. That can't be because circumstances aren't always good. So he's not talking. He said again, he's talking about this spiritual force, this joy that they're talking about, that Paul's talking about, is something that is different from circumstances. It's a joy that's different. It has to be a more powerful joy because, look, it's going to take more power not to look at the circumstances and follow the circumstance. You know, to go with the circumstances don't take any power at all. So it has to be something more powerful. This joy he's talking about, what Paul's talking about that you could do here with this, rejoicing in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, is talking about something that is outside, always rejoicing. You know, this joy and rejoicing is something that is totally different. He said you can have this, in other words, at all times. You know, he says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, the word always means every time, on every occasion, without exception, forever, in any event, continually, uninterrupted. Well, now we know it can't be based on circumstances, can it? Circumstances constantly try to interrupt my joy. I mean, it's always, folks, that is always what it does. Circumstance, you know, there's times we go along and everything's running so wonderful and good and we're just, wow, this is, you know, it's easy, but we find out, do I maintain that? When something bad happens, what happens to Ed? What does he do? And so I had to find out where I am operating from and where I'm hooked up at. You know, it speaks concerning Christ in Hebrews 11:25. It says, of Moses. It said in Hebrews 11:25, says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin. That word passing really could be translated there temporary. The temporary pleasures of sin. So sin only gives temporary happiness, or what in the world may call it joy. Having a good time. Sin seems pleasurable for a time, but its outcome is only for temporary. So the world's idea of whatever happiness or joy is a temporal thing. It is inconsistent. Well, we don't want anything that's inconsistent. You know, you don't want to own a car that's inconsistent, do you? You don't want a car that, you know, my car starts sometimes, you know? You know, sometimes when I drive down the road, it gets me the place I want. It don't stop. Oh, you know, sure is a good car. We need to know about sin. Sin does that. Sin will take you on a trip and then let you sit. It does. I mean, I'm an expert at it. I did it for 30 years. And did it hard. I worked at it. And it always did. You know, that's just like drugs and alcohol. If you're doing those things, what happens? You do it, you're happy for a time. But you know what? When they wear off, and I'm serious, what happens? People talk about coming down. You feel worse, and you're in worse situation than you were when you started. So what do? You go back to do more. So you can turn around, I got to get the good feeling back. I got to get this thing back. Why? Because what happened? It dropped me off over here. It ain't no fun no more. I got to get this fun back in me again. So if it masks, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm feeling good, whether it's a mask feeling good or not. You know, I know this. If I keep taking it, you know, you end up drinking. Like I drank all the time. I drank all the time because it was better than coming down. You always keep a buzz that you don't. Yeah, Yeah, I'm serious. That's it. You know, people, I watch Christians sit around and run down the world, and many of those people that run them down are worse off than those people in the world. At least those people in the world know how to do something to try to make themselves feel better. I wish most Christians did. Most Christians don't know how to make themselves get over in the area where things don't bug them. They don't know. They'd be better off with a drink. They'd probably done less worse things than they have done sitting around not knowing about God. And, you know, I'm not telling people to go out and drink and use drugs, but the whole thing of it is, I realized in my Christian walk, we have to have something. This Christian walk isn't just about being saved and getting to heaven. It's about living some heaven here. And that's really where it works at. That's where it's at, is learning to walk in it. I mean, this joy is no fake thing. You can build yourself in this joy and learn to build it in it. And I'll tell you what, you'll get into tough circumstances and this thing will rise up. See, this is what Jesus overcame. When Jesus spoke the word, he was empowered. This wasn't some Jesus just spoke the word and made him feel a little bit better. And, you know, it empowered him. It ended up when he was done speaking the word, he told Satan to get lost. The Bible says angels came and ministered to him. It caused a supernatural event, him speaking the word. I've had that happen to me. I've been under circumstances. In fact, back sometime this past winter, one night, man, sickness tried to come on me. For about a half an hour, I fought it. Half an hour, one of the craziest things happened. I mean, I went in the bathroom and I threw up. And while I was throwing up, I said these words. I said, I refuse to be sick in the name of Jesus. I will not have this. And when I said that, inside of me, joy rose up. And I was standing, I thought it just made me laugh more. I started laughing, and I thought while I was laughing, here I am hanging over a toilet laughing. And you know what? I got healed instantly. See, that joy that was in me, that I have developed in me, that joy, when I spoke the right words, that joy came forth. This is why many people don't have anything come forth, because they've been developing nothing in them. If you live by the circumstances and talk by the circumstances, you can't have that thing rise up. I've had more than one occasion where that thing rose up. I had more than one occasion where times where peace rose up and just, it was like it almost overwhelmed me and dominated me. Just couldn't believe it. Just like peace came over me under circumstances that there was no reason to be peace. There was no reason to have peace. I've had times things rose up where, I mean, dealing with areas of death and people dying, and just a peace came on me dealing with it. I have never had in any circumstance that I had any major thing happen to me or my family that a peace didn't, because the worst thing I'll do, I'll go over and talk to God and make certain statements, and a peace will come over me that passes all understanding. I'm serious. I've had that happen so many times where a peace just comes over me. And I'll tell you what, when you're at peace, you can start to hear from heaven. I have never found any Christian who's out here wringing their hands and hearing from God. They're out here, their situation, oh, we got to get a doctor. Oh, you got to get the hospital. Oh, you got to start doing all that kind of stuff. They never hear from heaven. You can't. The first thing you need to do, I'll tell you, I learned this over the years. When something bad's the first thing I do is I talk to God. That's the first thing I do. Talk to God, and I start saying to God what His Word says. I start talking to Him, and I'll tell you what, I've had the times, the peace, the joy rise up inside of me. See, that's the gateway to let it out. You can't have it. When Jesus spoke the word on His temptation to the devil, that's what let the power of God out of Him. That's withstood. See, He was developed in those things, and those were the things that rose up inside of Him. And you want to do the same thing. You develop in it. And it isn't something you're trying to work up when something happens. It's there. What you do is you say the right things to activate it. You activate love, joy, and peace. Just like a person. You can't ever have a person turn around and walk in the love of God, walking around telling you they can't forgive somebody. They're saying words that keep the love of God in their spirit bound up and jailed up. It can't be released. It isn't until they stop and say, you know what, I have the love of God in me and I can walk in love toward this person. I don't care how I feel about it. I'm going to love this person no matter what. If they'll start to do that, I will guarantee you they will unleash a power within themselves. See, this is all about on this faith issue. This is why most people, this is why, you know, over the years, I've seen this. If I run into a person who doesn't, a Christian who doesn't understand the faith thing, they always think that I'm some kind of crazy. I'm out there, you know, you're listening to the wrong thing. You're listening to the wrong stuff. Because I know them. They don't understand none of this. All they understand is the flesh. Now, they might be born again, and they're nice people. But I'm going to tell you what, they ain't got a clue about having heaven on earth. They ain't got a clue about how to have something work in you greater than you are. This that works in us is greater than what we are. That's why you want these forces. This is supernatural. This is nothing natural about this. This joy is not a natural joy. There's nothing natural about it. Because the natural doesn't work with it. The natural is opposed to it. And the natural will always tell you something else. And I mean, I have seen it. I have seen it over time. You know, I remember some incidents that happened, and I've told the story before about, you know, when we lived in town in Lebanon on Canal Street, back in the alley behind us was a young two sisters up the street from us were riding back through the alley in their bikes, and I had these arborvitae planted in the back. There was a gate we had there, and I had these arborvitae planted, and I saw them come past, you know, and they came past, and they got behind the arborvitae, couldn't see them, and all of a sudden I heard kaplunk, and I heard this one, the one girl, she's young, and her older sister. Anyhow, what happened was somehow they got their handlebars locked or something. I don't know. Anyhow, her sister fell and hit head first. She hit, you know, right her forehead, right into the macadam. Just bang, hit it. And I remember when it happened. I was sitting on a chair out in the backyard. I was sitting up there doing some reading in the Word. I was reading and praying in the Holy Ghost. And when that happened, I just stood up and I said, "In Jesus' name." And I just started walking out. And when I did it, see, you just say the right stuff. I'm heading to think, the first thing I'm looking at, Jesus, what about, there's a peace that came over me. I never even ran out to them. I walked out, opened the gate, walked there. The girl was laying on the ground. A peace come over me. I knew this immediately. Get the young girl out, away from here. Because see, she's in a panic. Well, her sister's hurt. I said, "Go get your parents." Well, I knew it was going to, I just knew what's going on. I had this wisdom. You normally wouldn't have in a situation. You know, you're trying. I just looked at her just real calmly. "Go get your parents." So she runs down the alley heading to her house to get her parents. This is going to take time until she gets to her house, gets back up the alley with the parents. The girl's laying on the ground there, and Wanda had come out. I walked over, just knelt down beside her, laid my hands on her head, started praying in other tongues. All of a sudden, just like that, she's eyes popped open. She sat up. I said, "How are you?" She says, "Oh, I'm fine, fine." I said, "Do you have any pain?" She said, "No." And now, when I got out there, she had this big, you know, spot on her. She had hit, sort of scuffed, but yet it was like a big lump, like she banged. We just watched that thing go down. When her parents got there, it was about this size of a small scuffed up spot. It wasn't even swollen. When they got there, I just gave her daughter to them. Said, "Yeah, she's fine. She's all right. She'll be okay." But see, that, you know, people, how did Jesus get? Well, people think, well, if I just say the word, if you haven't developed in these things, you can just get up and all of a sudden quote a word, but that isn't going to make it happen. That's why you have to get over and develop in these things, and these things got to be a force that works within you. You got to be conscious of the love of God in you. You become conscious of it by saying it. Faith brings it into a reality. You can't talk other stuff all the time and then come over in calamity and speak things and have stuff happen. I'm serious. I could literally write books of hundreds of times I was in situations. Literally hundreds of times I've been in situations. Spoke, just said certain things. And man, God, the Spirit of God just started to move. It just started. It's because of this. Now, I didn't find all this out because I was such a genius. You know, Kenneth Hagin taught about it. That's why people won't listen to Kenneth Hagin's teachings. I'm sorry. They'll never walk in. These people will never walk in this stuff. You won't even hear much of this stuff even taught today around things. You know, everything's dealt to circumstance. You know, we're trying to make it. That's why we're having the seeker-friendly churches, because these pastors know nothing about the Spirit. That's why they're doing it, because they don't understand the realm of the Spirit. They've left it. They've left it for the natural. They want crowds instead of God. It's nice if you have a crowd, but I don't want a crowd unless there's God. Because I tell you, the crowd gets ugly without God. Crowds get unruly without God. I don't know. Did you ever notice that? You want to have God. But I want to encourage you and think, well, so when you think of this is a spiritual force. When you're walking in these things, when you're doing these things, that's what being spiritual is. See, something being spiritual is being some woo-woo way out there. If you want to get a woo-woo way out there, walk in these things. Then you'll have supernatural experiences. You start walking like you have the love of God. How do you do it? You start talking like the love of God is in you, that you have the love of God. I can forgive people. Praise God, because the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I can forgive. I can walk in love. I won't hold resentment against other people. I don't do that. Man, I used to say that when I wanted to hold resentment against people, but I refused it. I said, the love of God's in me. I am not going to hold resentment. I refuse to hold resentment against anybody for what they do. I am not going to do that. I will forgive anybody of whatever they've done to me. I am not going to hold it against them. Well, I found out after doing that stuff over a long period of time, just continually talking that stuff, and when situations would happen, I'd say those things. I found after a while I wasn't holding resentment against people. People didn't affect me like they did before. It's saying, see, that's the actions of faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing the word. The love of God's released in me by the faith of the word of God. Releases that love in me. That after a while, I'm walking, man, I'll tell you, I have had situations where I almost had to pinch myself. Say, my God, am I alive and breathing? I was so unmoved by what was going on around me, it just seemed like, oh my words, what is this? But it was no more than that, than God's, the fruit of the Spirit taking over in your life. Because you let it out. It's in you. It's what you're made of. It's what you are. And you let it out, and it suppresses the outer man. And that's what we want to do. We want the outer man dead. He's dead, you know. How do you kill him? You don't, like I said, you don't do something physical to kill him. You'll not kill. You won't kill the appetite by diets. Paul said you won't. He said, don't think it, don't touch, don't taste, don't eat is anything. He said, that is like it has any godliness. It won't. Because what's going to happen? You're still going to be fighting next year not to eat that thing you don't said you shouldn't eat. You know what? Your flesh is going to still say, give me that seventh piece of pie. Let's eat that whole thing. There's eight pieces in there. I'll let one for the rest of them. Don't you want to come to the place where your flesh can't do what it wants to do? That's why the Lord told me, he said, heaven doesn't have any diets. He says, we have moderation in all things. I know how we get there. That's through the fruit of the Spirit. The development of the fruit of the Spirit helps you keep the body under control through the power of the Spirit, not through works of the law, by diet, work of the law. That's what they are, works of the law. Don't touch, don't taste, don't. You know, like Brother Hagin used to say, I can drink as much as I want to, I just don't want to. Well, don't you want to come to that? Or do you want to keep doing the way the church world has been doing it? That's the way the church world's been teaching everybody to do it. And I don't want to live there. I lived there. Don't touch, don't taste. And all I did was touch and taste. That's all I did. You know what? You know, sometimes you can have the second piece of pie and it's all right. You know, people get so nutty in all of this. You know? You know, if you're going to sit down and just eat the dessert, then don't eat the sandwich. So you have the dessert. You know, sometimes start with a dessert. You know, you don't have to live in this crazy world. Don't touch, don't taste. We live in this insane world, and it's called spirituality. And it's not. It's not spirituality. You know, Jesus drank wine, and they said he was a drunkard. He drank wine. He said he was Jesus drank real wine. He wasn't genuine. People say grape juice. That's the biggest lie that anybody ever told. You go look up in the Greek of the word it's talking about there. Jesus was drinking wine. Jesus turned water into wine at a at a wedding. He did it. So we can say this, he did it, God did it. But you know what? It's everything in moderation. Everything. That's why you can't. The Bible speaks against drunkenness. You drink to get drunk, that's sin. Everything in moderation. It's the way it works. Everything is in moderation. And you know, I want to come to that where everything's in moderation. Where you're not out here driven by don't eat, don't touch, don't taste. Because I watch the weakness it has put into the church world with their thinking about stuff. You know, it's like Brother Hagin said, you know, I can drink as much as I want, I just don't want to. Wouldn't you rather live there? I do. I think that's a good place. That's a wonderful place to go, is to live in that place. Is to live in that place. I don't want to live under this temporary inconsistency of things. You can never, and understand this, you can never have too much of the fruit of the Spirit. You can never have too much of it. You'll develop, and I really encourage you, because I learned through Kenneth Hagin and his teaching. And as you started, I started listening to him of what you and I are supposed to start to put into us and what we start to do, and learning to believe what God's Word says, and started to saying what God's Word says in situations. And I found out, man, that's what turned things and changed things around. You know, I realized I started off at first, even with Wanda. She had some difficult time. I started off before her, and I had, you know, there's some things about, from a scriptural standpoint, about being around Christianity as a kid, I knew about. She really didn't have a whole much of a background. Her parents never went to church or never did much of anything like that. And like her mom never got born again until she was up in age, and she got born again. And she got born again over Alyssa. Alyssa, a little girl. Alyssa had asked her one time about believing on Jesus. She asked Nanny if she, and this was after she had gotten saved. And she asked her about it, and she said yes, you know, that she believed on Jesus and she was saved. And Alyssa, the little girl, said to her, said, "I'm sure glad, Nanny," because she said, "I didn't want to, you know, wanted you to me be in heaven without you." And you know, it just sort of startled her, because you know, we don't teach today that, you know, in the church world, that there is a hell. Is not talked about as if there is. You don't need saved from hell. You ain't going to have one. Nobody has hell. You know, you just got a bad life, and you just need saved from your bad life to have a good life here. And it's gotten all messed up. And we need to get over in these areas of realizing today the situations, how things are talked and said, you know. But, you know, just in my own walk and in my own life of walking and living over in these areas, you get under this, into areas where dealing with this love, joy, and peace, especially starting off, as I said, Wanda didn't understand a lot about it. I would have to walk sometimes in things and do things that really sort of just threw her off, you know, that she didn't understand, but I knew I had to change the situation. Something was going on, had to be changed. And understand this, you can't always keep everybody else happy by walking in this. If you want to see change, people are not going to learn till you learn to oppose their direction. You know, if I'd listened to people back years ago, and, you know, Sherry knows, if I'd listened to them years, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I would listen to other people. I knew what God was saying. I knew what God was doing, and I knew they didn't know. I knew it. I knew they had no clue what God was saying nor doing. I knew they didn't. I knew they weren't paying a bit of attention to God. I knew what they wanted. They wanted me to follow them. It had nothing to do with following God. Follow us, and see, it makes us happy if you follow us, you know. I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Jesus. So the Lord told me, he said, you teach people so they can know me like you do. That's what he said to do. So you can know him. You can hear from him. I don't have to be your God. No man should want to be trying to be somebody else's God and have everybody else under their influence. It's not what we're doing. So people can know God. And you learn to know God through your own spirit. I mean, I had times and that stuff that arisen, and I know Wanda didn't understand. I mean, we had a situation where Alyssa had fallen off I had put this, what they call a big T jungle gym in back of the house that I put in, and she was up on top of the thing, and anyhow, she was kind of hanging or something doing. She fell head first, hit the ground head first. She had a concussion, and it was a severe concussion. And I remember when it happened, and she, you know, she was crying, and we had brought her in the house, and we brought her in, and Alyssa was crying, and I said to the Lord right away, the first thing I did was I spoke to the Lord, said, "Lord, about it." And I remember the Lord saying this to me. He said, "Well, if you take her to the hospital, she's going to be in there a while, and they're going to be, you know, dealing with her and that stuff." Because I knew this is concussions. It's a serious thing, you know. People can die from concussions, you know, and I know that. I know from being in the military and being in Vietnam. But he said this to me, or he said, "If that's all he spoke to me. If you take her to the hospital, she's going to be in there for a while." He said, "They're going to be poking her and prodding her." That's what he said to me. That's what the Lord spoke to me. So I knew he was telling this. I had a choice. I could believe him, take her to the hospital. I knew what he was doing. He's giving me a choice. It's not, see, my people say, God told me to take him to the hospital. If God told a person he had to take him to the hospital, let me tell you this. Did you know why? Because they could not believe to stand. God will never tell you to stand somewhere you can't stand. I had a guy tell me one time, you know, God, see, wants people to go to the hospital because he told this person to go to the hospital. That's what God wants. And I knew right away that they were just as ignorant as the other person was. They believed that other person said. I know why God told that other person to go to the hospital, because they couldn't believe where they're standing. I know. God would tell me the same thing. He wouldn't say no different. God's not an idiot. If you couldn't stand to believe something, would it be any test in your life if you were never taught something to try to give you a test and expect you to pass it? I mean, that'd be stupid. I guess most Christians think God's an idiot. You know, he just ain't got it, you know. But anyhow, so I prayed for her, and, you know, symptoms really subsided in her. But during the night, she started getting bad again, and this started going, and she was a problem in pain during the night. And I remember getting up, didn't have a lot of sleep that night, got up for work the next morning. And she's going through this thing, and I remember walking in the bathroom and looking in the bathroom mirror, standing there and getting ready for work. You know, you're shaving and doing stuff, and I'm looking in the mirror. And all of a sudden, down inside of me, I just hear this little, still, small voice. You've gotten into unbelief. And I had to say, yeah, you're right, Lord. See, I let circumstances, what's going on? Lisa started crying during the night. And thinking, well, you know, it ain't working. you start to, yeah, your mind goes there, and I know you people never had anything like that ever happen in your life. This is just me. I'm telling on me. And I got over there, and I was looking at that, and I remember standing there, and the Lord spoke to me a second time. He said, you know how to stand in faith. He said, stand in faith. You know how to do this. And I said, yes, sir. And I said, you're right. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for my unbelief. And I went over and made a stand, and Alyssa started amending. She started getting better. Well, the next day, you know, she was, when I left for work and that stuff, she was in bed. She's still having some problems, but she wasn't in the pain and stuff that she was. And she wasn't. But that afternoon, it was like in late afternoon, because it seems to me like I used to get off at 3. I was on first shift at that time. And like at 3, I would leave. And it was somewhere about 1:30, 2 o'clock. I think it was somewhere around 1:30 the call came in, and I was back working in the Kit Kat kitchen, and I'll never forget, they said, you got an emergency call from home, call home. So I went out. We didn't have cell phones in those days. You had to use phones that hung on walls. I went out, got on the phone, called home, and it was Wanda. And Wanda said, Alyssa's thrown up blood. And she said, you know, it's going on, And I was there listening to what she said, and this is a war that's going on in the inside. I have what's coming up out the inside, and what I'm hearing said are two different things. Now, it wasn't because Wanda was just telling me what was going on. What was coming out of me in the inside was telling me that she's healed. And I just said, Wanda, let me hang up. I said, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. What I wanted to do, and I did it. You have to learn. Sometimes you need to get away from somebody. You know, if people start wearing on your faith, you can get up, and if they're in your house, you can ask them to leave. You have to go somewhere. And what do you mean is go talk to God or something, but get away from them. When people are wearing on your faith, and I just said with Wanda, because I couldn't let Wanda keep talking. Because it was one thing was coming out of my spirit, and I know Wanda was in a panic, and I could tell. So what I did was I just said, I'll call you 5 minutes. I said, I hung up. And when I hung up, I said, Lord, I said, what's going on? And this come right up out of my spirit. I thought you said you were in faith this morning. What are you asking me what's going on? Boy, I said, well, I ain't going there. I've been there, caused this. I called back on the phone. I knew Wanda didn't say, see, don't people consider this? Oh, boy, you know, he just don't care. I called Wanda. Wanda answered the phone. I said, Wanda, don't worry. Everything is going to be all right. Goodbye. Hung up the phone. That's exactly what I did. Most people don't know how to walk by faith. They have no clue how to do it. They are so tied to other people and what other people think and what other people say. They will let somebody destroy their faith just to be, I'm being nice. This is my daughter's life I'm talking about. And if Wanda gets mad at me for a period of time, she'll get over it. And she did. Till I got home, she was totally over it because Lissa was instantaneously healed. When I got off the phone, she said, we got off the phone, she said, Lissa walked down the steps, said, Mom, I'm completely fine, I'm completely well. Never had another symptom, never had nothing. Instantaneously taken care of. If I hadn't done what I did, that's not what the outcome would have been. So when I got home, Wanda wasn't upset at Ed for hanging up. Over time, Wanda began to understand why I did those kinds of things. That if I told her I wasn't going to discuss a thing anymore, it wasn't because I was being mean. It's like, I'm heading in a direction. You just stand back and watch. If you can't join me, just stand back and watch and let it go. We're having this thing. It's going to work. And Wanda learned over time that this stuff, and she learned through it. She learned how to, where Wanda could do this, she started doing the same thing with her faith. She understood how it worked and what to do. And it wasn't that I wasn't, the fact that I was walking in love, that's why it was working. It wasn't working because, oh, he don't care, you know. Because at first sometimes she used to say, you don't really care, do you? No, yes, that's why I'm standing where I am, because I do care. I am in love. I'm walking in love. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. See, I know what the outcome is. I don't have to go do something else. And they'll tell you, you got to do something else. You got to do something else. Years ago, I had to, there was pretty much a different board in our church. They had a situation arose in the church, and they thought I ought to deal with it and that stuff, and I had gotten over and I prayed. I just knew in my spirit, let this thing alone. Don't touch it. And I just knew that God was going to take care of it. I just keep my... Sometimes you just need to keep your hands off of things. Sometimes there's times you're supposed to deal with a situation. Sometimes you're not. And I just knew I wasn't supposed to deal with it. They were trying to get me to deal with this and I said, I ain't touching it. I said, I'm not touching it. I said, I ain't going to move till I... If the Lord directs me what to do, I'll do. But I said, I just feel let this alone. Well, anyhow, it ended up getting corrected itself, and I'll never forget one board meeting. The board member said, you know, we're glad you let that alone, because if you wouldn't, we saw what would have came out of this if you wouldn't have let it alone. They said, this way we weren't tied to none of that junk. Said, amen, brother. God knew. See, some things you may not see, you don't need to see it. God will tell you not to get messed up with him, because if you do, you'll see what you didn't want to see. And that's what happened. It saved us some problems we could have had if we would have got involved in it. And yet sometimes you got to listen to God just in those things. And somebody thinks, well, you ain't walking in love. You're not. Yes, we are. If you're obeying God, you're walking in love. If you're doing what the Word of God says, you are the one walking in love. It don't matter what anybody else says. Most Christians will do what the world says is love and say they walk in love, and they do not. Because they'll go against the Word of God. I know Christians going against the Word of God on things, fellowshipping with people that the Bible says you definitely don't fellowship with. If a Christian does certain things, if they continue in it, you don't fellowship with, and they fellowship with those people. And they're saying they're walking in love, trying to reach them. They're liars. They're not walking in love. They're not doing what the Bible says. And always do what the Bible says. Always do what the Bible says. That's your walking in love. You'll have joy. You'll have peace. Hallelujah! We'll talk next week some more on this subject of talking about things that will bring you joy and peace and things that, you know, help you develop in these areas, because we sure want to. These things are good for me too, to go, because you go back into them. You know, I don't know anybody ever walked in too much love or too much joy or too much peace. It's never happened, so I guess our tree can always produce more, can it? Amen. Father, we just want to thank you this morning as we've looked into these things in the Scriptures, and we thank you for teaching us, guiding us and leading us into all the truth, showing us these things, Father God. Father, things that are not natural, things that, Lord God, we didn't think up these things. These are things that are in your Word, and Father, I want to thank you that your Word's supernatural, that your Word, Lord God, works mightily in us. How it does things far beyond what any human can bring by the development of our own minds and things. Lord God, Lord, but it's by the power of the Spirit, our own human spirit, Lord God, hooked up with the Holy Ghost, doing supernatural and wonderful things. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.